I think if I might add this, just to be specific about your questions, that title, the Son of Man, the first time it is mentioned in the scripture, it's in Psalm 80, toward the end there. And thy hand might be on the man of your right hand, and the son of Adam, or the son of man. That's the first time you read about it. In Ezekiel, it is mentioned about 86 times, and there, the son of man. And then once in Daniel, and I think, and then in the Gospels, almost 100 times it is mentioned. Again, don't take me on a number. You got to count them yourselves, but... that was a long time ago. It's just a title that is unique to the Lord Jesus in the New Testament, and especially you find it in the Gospel of Luke, because there his genealogy goes all the way back to Adam. But he is a man after another order, and that's what we need to keep in mind. And I think the expression of that was shown in his moral glory, as we have heard. But he is a son of man, a man after a different order completely. Uniquely in everything, not only as regard to the glory, we will get to that later on, but in regard to his life and his suffering. He is the Son of Man. As one have once said, that the rich man will have the best room in the inn, and the poor man will have the worst room in the inn. The Lord Jesus have no room in the inn. There is no place for him at all in man's Ephesus, in man in construction, in man world at all. He was a man after a different order, and he is the Son of Man, again, the true man, the second man, the Lord out of heaven.
In Matthew's Gospel, the first time it's mentioned is the Lord uses the expression for himself. The first time he uses it, he says in Matthew 8, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. It almost it fits with this theme that we have of his sorrows, his sufferings. This is the first time he uses it in the Gospel of Matthew, and it relates to his manhood, but also his suffering.
Yeah, and the last time in the New Testament is Revelation 14:14, which also brings in his head, where we see the Son of Man and his head crowned with a golden crown, and his scythe going into the earth to reap the harvest of the earth. So there, in the first and the last mention of the Son of Man in the New Testament, we get these two features, the sufferings of Christ and the, one of the glories that would follow. And I know we have to move into the sufferings of Christ here, but because Brother Sam asked a question about the Son of God and the Son of Man. You know, Steve quoted from Matthew 26, where the high priest said, tell us, you know, plainly, are you the Son of God? But the Lord's response is, thou sayest it, but you will see hereafter the Son of Man, you know, coming in the clouds of glory. And you get a similar thing in John's Gospel, chapter 1, where Nathanael confesses him, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel, right? And that's really a reference to Psalm 2. So he said, what Nathanael is saying there is saying, you are the Messiah for Israel, for the earth. But the Lord's response, the Lord didn't deny that, but he says, but, you know, from henceforth you'll see something even greater, right? Something greater, that is the Son of Man, right? And the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So we see this idea of not just a Messiah for the earth, but a Son of Man in heaven, right? And I think in a special way, the Son of Man, it's his identification also with us, bringing us into this, right? That's the idea.
It's a wider title than the Messiah, because the Messiah is really connected to Israel. But the Son of Man have a universal will be displayed in the
Messiah. But I think we need to clarify something just for anybody not to take it in that line. It's not that he came out of man, because he is from the seed of the woman. But that expression as well brings the thought that he took up humanity in all its perfection. It doesn't mean that he is the source of a man, because he wasn't the source of a man. The same thing with the title as the Son of God. It's a name. That's his name, Son. It is not that God created him, because he's never created. He is deity. He is God over all. So perhaps just to simplify it overall with all the suffering and the glories that should follow. If I can add one more to you, Brother Sam, there are three aspects: Son of Man, Son of David, and Son of God. And perhaps when we read that title, we think of humanity. When we read of Son of David, the right of the throne, and when we read of the Son of God, the one who is eternal over all, blessed forever. Mm-hmm. So when we see these titles, think of that direction of things in relationship to the Lord.
I ask a question. So often there are those who would put men in equality with the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ezekiel, it's mentioned so many times, calling Ezekiel Son of Man. What's the difference? Because one could read it and say, see, Ezekiel is called Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ is called Son of Man. So they're both the same. Which we, I'm sure, by our thought, what we have shared, that is not so. But what is the difference between Ezekiel and the Lord Jesus Christ? They're both called Son of Man.
Well, we're sons of men. We are sons of men in that we were born of man, right? So Ezekiel was born of man. He's a son of man. The Lord Jesus Christ was the, he was not a son of man. He was the Son of Man, which, as Steve said, there's the messianic aspect according to Daniel chapter 7, the Son of Man. He's a divine person. So I would say the distinguishing thing, if you want to take it from the Word of God, is the Son of Man versus a Son of Man. They're two different orders of man, actually.
Can you add something to it, if I can use that term? They're both. Ezekiel was man, spirit, soul, and body. The Lord was also man, spirit, soul, and body. And the difference is, I think, just because it's a general, not only the Son of Man, but when people put the scripture marks the Lord Jesus, that yet he was without sin. Although Ezekiel was a man, but he was tainted with sin. But when it comes to the manhood of the Lord Jesus, he was sin apart. Even the Lord in John chapter 8, or in John 8 or someplace there, who amongst you, anybody, can convict me of one sin? So if I want to bring another difference between Ezekiel and the Lord is, man, but this blessed man was sin apart.
And the verse in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14 makes it very clear that as the children have partaked in the flesh and blood, he also, not partake, he took part. Mm-hmm. So again, though he walked as man among men, and as we have heard, soul, spirit, and body in perfect humanity, but sin apart. And that is really the distinguish between him. He took part in manhood, but sin apart. And that need to be guarded all the time regarding him, different than if he's a man after a different order. He is the second man, the Lord out of heaven.
Isn't that also, Brother Eamon, what you're saying from Hebrews chapter 2, the fact that in Psalm 8, the question's asked, what is Enos? And then what is man that thou visitest him? And the Psalm's talking about everything being given to the son of Adam. But there was lacking a man suitable. Man failed. Adam failed. Right from the beginning, man failed. There was not a man to fit the bill. But the Son of Man, he came. Yes? It's the same as the word there in Psalm 8. But he came, and that's what Hebrews 2 says. Here is the man. But we see Jesus. There is the man. The answer to the need that all things will be given into his hand.